From 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, hear now the word of the Lord. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sometimes I think we all need encouragement to keep on keeping on. And sometimes we all need that cheerleader in our life who tells us, you can do it. Don't give up. Keep going. You're almost there. And sometimes there's that person in our life who is able to give us a little perspective when life is hard. Or the pressures of the job seem overwhelming, or the class seems unpassable. We get caught up into the weeds of all the little frustrations and doubts in our minds and the little details and minute puzzles we're trying to figure out in our heads. And then someone who loves us tells us, look up, there's more to life than this. There's more to life than what you're going through right now. You have such more life to live than what this struggle is that you're dealing with today. That is, someone who loves us helps us to see the bigger picture. Your struggle's almost over. The challenge is not going to last forever. And there's an end, and it's glorious, so don't despair. Don't give up. Keep going. And that's part of the apostles' message, I think, to the believers there in 1 Thessalonians, helping those newer believers to keep on keeping on when they were going through their own trials and struggles in life. With love and deep affection, they're helping the saints to look forward with faith, a good conscience toward God, and a hope of Christ coming again. And these are certainly things that we can be encouraged by today as well as we read this letter. So God has made a way of salvation in coming to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is good news, and this is good news that the world needs to hear. It's a good news that inspires missionaries to go to remote islands and lands and people groups. The people of the world need to know about God coming to us and about his love for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the good news that inspired the Apostle Paul and the other apostles to spread the good news about Jesus and start church plants, and start planting churches throughout Asia Minor. Paul and his companions, Silas and Timothy, have been working together, starting and nurturing these new church plants. And And our letter focuses, of course, on that one church plant in Thessalonica, a little Greek town. They had gotten into trouble while they were there, though, because they were talking about a different kind of king, a different king. And of course, that caused a stir because the current Roman emperor, the Caesar, claimed himself to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so Paul and Silas had to flee for their lives, and they left this newer group of Christians to themselves. And so he's concerned about them, because as we read earlier in the letter, he says, we came to you with words, but not just with words. We shared with you the gospel, but not just shared the gospel, we shared our very lives with you. And so they had grown to really care and love for them. And so when they could stand it no longer, the beginning of chapter 3 says, they would send Timothy back to this new church plant. Timothy, with his Greek passport, would have traveled much better and more safely there. And so Timothy comes back with this good report about how things are going with the faith of those believers in this church plant. But there were still some concerns, some things that were lacking in their faith, some holes in their knowledge that needed to be filled. They still had a long way to go in order to understand what a God-honoring and a God, a Christ-like life looks like. And so in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, we have this, as I said, this prayerful interlude between the first and the second halves of this letter. And so Paul's been building up to something, and he's still building up to something that's coming, and he's being very careful about how he words things, and he wants them to know, first off, about how proud he is, how happy he is, praising God for what's going on in the church, the good things that are going on. And so this prayerful interlude today is going to point us forward to the next chapters of how he's going to challenge and encourage the believers and fill in those holes of their knowledge. But I want to focus on that prayerful interlude this morning between those first and second halves of the letter. We find the threefold prayer at the end of our reading today, and that's where I want to focus. First, that God would make a way. That God would make a way. Second, that God would make love increase and overflow within them. And that God would strengthen their hearts and change their lives while they await the Lord's return. So those are the three prayers at the end of our reading today that I'm going to focus on. So first, the prayer that God would make a way. God would make a way. As I mentioned, Paul and Silas are booted out of town because of causing a riot, insisting that there was another king, namely Jesus. And so when they could stand it no longer, it says it twice in our passage, they sent Timothy to find out how this new church plant is going. And it tells us a little bit about something about Timothy there in chapter 3, verse 2. According to Paul, he is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ. Well, what is that? That's evangelism, right? That's evangelism. Or speaking to others persuasively in order to change their minds and have them commit to Christ. And that was considered a service of God and of the Great Commission of Jesus, right, to all believers. To all the saints, the evangelism, the ability and willingness to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So back in chapter 1, verse 9, it says the reports have reached the apostles about what's going on in this new church plant. It says about the apostles say about the Thessalonians that they have turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There is one living and true God. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So over and over again, we read of positive affections and reports regarding the believers in this new church. They get an A on their report card. They're doing so well, right? And what does he mention? He mentions in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, their work produced by faith, their labor prompted by love, their endurance inspired by their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in him coming back again one day. So the apostles, it says again, back in chapter 2, verse 17, out of intense longing, it says, they made every effort to see the believers there in Thessalonica. They attempted many times to make it back, but it said Satan blocked our way. So part of their prayer comes out of waiting and longing to return to them. It was a prayer that God would make a way for them to return. And the word there in the original has more of a military sense of God making a way, clearing the battlefield so that they can return. In the meantime, they would send Timothy, and they would send this letter, of course, too. And in chapter 3, verse 6 of our reading, it says that Timothy has brought back good news. About what? About their faith and their love. The church planting apostles were encouraged about the good news that they themselves continue to experience persecution and hardship. But God's still at work. God is still doing something, and he's even using the hardship and the persecution and the struggles to advance his gospel in the world. It was great to hear that these new believers were standing firm in the Lord, it says. They were standing firm in the Lord in the midst of their struggles in a harsh environment for belief in Jesus. So in verse 11, we hear their prayerful petition to the Lord. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. Now at the very least, Paul sees the Father and Jesus as both divine here. He doesn't use the word, but Paul is working with the Trinitarian theology here. The Father is God, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And you see it elsewhere in this letter too. He relies upon the triune God to clear the way for he and Silas to return to the new church again and to continue the gospel ministry there. Satan may be blocking the path, but God overrules Satan. Satan may be blocking the path, but God overpowers Satan. So in prayer, the apostles seek God to intervene. You know, our good works, our good intentions, our desire to minister to others may seem to be blocked sometimes too. Sometimes we don't seem to be making headway, either individually or as a church, if we're going down a particular path of ministry and we don't know why. Sometimes we seem to be getting nowhere in our spiritual conversations with our children, whether younger ones or older adult children. Sometimes that blockage is a dark spiritual blockage. And we don't see, we don't always understand. And the apostles know this is possible too. That's why they say they believe that Satan was blocking their path. And so they engaged in prayer. Prayer to ask God to pierce the darkness and to clear that blockage so that the way of the gospel would get through, the gospel of Jesus Christ would continue to move forward. The work of the gospel goes forward in prayer. God clears a way, and that would be good for us to remember too, especially when we get waylaid or we feel like we're struggling with sharing the gospel with somebody or getting it through. We need prayer. We need to pray that God would make a way, that God would clear a path so that the good news could reach hearts and lives. So you see, just like the apostles, we often find ourselves waiting and hoping and longing too, and maybe we're stuck in a weed bed of details and problems. But it doesn't have to be a passive waiting, of sitting around and doing nothing. We can engage in a prayerful waiting and a hopeful serving while we are able to do so. So the apostles begin with the prayer that God would make a way for their return to the believers. Secondly, this morning, part of the prayer is that God would make love increase and overflow. That God would make love increase and overflow. This letter has been making it very clear that the apostles are very thankful to God for the work that's already begun in this new church plant. In chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it says this: "How can we thank God enough for you in return for the joy that we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." And that word "lacking" in the original has the sense of holes in a fishing net. So the desire is to come and to help fill in the cracks, to help fill in the holes of their faith, supply what might be missing in their understanding. As you can imagine, there's a lot to learn if you're coming to Christianity for the first time. Many of us who've grown up in the church still have a lot to learn. Now, here's a group of believers who've been raised in a pagan culture and are now learning to live and walk and talk and worship Jesus, right? Maybe for the first time. All this is new, so they have some holes in their understanding and in their belief. And the same would be true for us if we were planning a church today, as we engage people of our pagan culture, many who do not have that faith background or understanding that maybe we do, and that's going to take patience. So this church, they're doing some things well, and they're praised for their faith and love, but they also have some things to learn and areas in their life where they need to grow in their obedience to the Lord and following God and God's will. So the second part of the prayer in verse 12 goes like this: may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. The apostles thank God for the work already begun, for Christ first coming into their lives, but they also look forward to the future, future growth, future victory in Christ, as they continue to grow closer to Him. It's wonderful to see how God has been working in their lives, and the love they show to one another and those outside the church, the faith that they have in God through the Lord Jesus. So like good teachers, the apostles, like I've mentioned before, they point out the good attributes first, the positive things, the strengths that they see already in them and they want to see them continue to do before they tell them how they need to grow and the things they need to change. Like I said, Paul is building up to something here, and he's going to be addressing some things in the next couple chapters. So may your already good works of love for others increase. But may the Lord make it increase. I think that's the good news here. May the Lord make it increase. It's not something that they alone need to work harder at doing. May the Lord make your love increase. And not just increase, the prayer is for much more. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. But not just overflow for each other, but overflow for everyone else too. The love that comes from God and works in our hearts is meant to overflow, to bless others, like those who are not easy to love, or those who don't belong to our political parties, or those who do not belong to the church. May your love overflow. May the Lord make it increase to everyone else too. And may others know and see that love that's going on and that within you and among you as a church. So in chapter 1, back in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. God is doing a work among them that they could not do for themselves. They were chosen by God, it says, elect, and the gospel came to them. Came to them, passively, right? The gospel came to them with power and the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. And so their lives and attitudes and behaviors were changing as a result. The core of a Bible-believing community of faith is a love for others and those outside the church too. So the apostles pray, may your love increase and overflow. May the Lord make it increase and overflow. And finally, the third part of this prayerful interlude in the letter, pointing us forward to what the letter is going to be talking about later on. And may God strengthen your heart and change your life as you await the Lord's return. God will strengthen your heart and change your life as you await the Lord's return. In verse 13, it says, may he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy, the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Saints, so that means the holy ones, the saints. There's an eager expectation for the Lord's return, and that doesn't mean sitting around passively and doing nothing until he comes, quitting your job and just sitting on the couch playing video games until Jesus comes again. Although some in Paul's day were doing just that. I don't know what kind of video games they were playing, but they would quit their jobs. They would stop working. Jesus is coming. What does all this matter? We're just sitting around and wait. And the believers of this church were also wondering what happened when someone died in the Lord, before the Lord returned. What's going to happen to them? They're going to miss out. So again, like I said, this looks forward in the letter to Christ's second coming that he addresses in chapter 4 and 5 that we'll look at in the next couple of weeks. The Lord is coming suddenly, it says there, like a thief in the night. It's like a lightning flash. It's the sound of the last trumpet, the voice of the archangel. It'll all be dramatic, and it'll be sudden, and it'll be decisive, and it'll be the end. So the warning from the apostles is to keep watch, to be prepared, to be alert, to wait for his return, because we do not know the day or the hour. Keep living in obedience and faithfulness while you wait. Keep serving, keep loving, keep working. So the prayer is that God would strengthen their hearts and make them firm. Well, it continues to say that they may be blameless and holy when Christ returns. As the parables of Jesus, we don't want to be unfaithful stewards. We don't want to squander the master's property or bury our treasure in the sand or abuse the messengers or lack oil in our lamps when he returns with no chance to fill them up again. We want to be found faithful and ready when the Lord returns. And so may the Lord keep your heart strong and firm as you continue to live faithful lives of obedience. And that the Lord's return will not surprise you like a thief in the night. You'll be ready. So the third prayer for strength of heart is a prayer for a faithful obedience for the long haul as well, not just the short term. Though Paul may have thought that the Lord would return within his lifetime, he urged the Thessalonian believers in chapter 4, verse 11, to make it their ambition to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life would win the respect of outsiders. As they await the Lord's return, the people of God are supposed to work hard. They're supposed to remain faithful and obedient and learn to get along with others. This letter speaks of a longer haul, a longer time frame that includes learning and growing in faith and a love that overflows to service to others and to outsiders, because this world still matters, even though we believe Jesus is coming back. Justice still matters today. It's good to keep working toward these things. Peace matters. It's good to keep working toward peace in this world today. It's a very active waiting and hoping and serving and loving. So the third prayer is also a prayer that we would continue our faith and service with a hopeful outlook, a forward-looking posture, and a sure conviction that Jesus is coming again one day. We have a future hope and outlook on life that not only helps us endure hardships right here and right now, but also energizes us towards active love and service toward others. It's a hopeful approach, hopeful perspective. Jesus is coming back. So God will make a way. God will make your love increase and overflow to others. And God will strengthen your heart and change your life as you await the Lord's return. You see, even as we read these ancient words, we can glean some important lessons today from them. Serving others in love is a good way to gain perspective over the challenges we're going through right now. If you think you have it bad, try serving someone who's really going through a hard time right now. We can have our judgments and opinions from a distance, but try getting your hands dirty. Get involved in their lives. See what they're going through. It'll change your perspective about them, about yourself, about the world. We also notice a lot of thanksgiving going on in this letter. It's a good reminder for us to continue to be thankful for others, the saints that God has placed within our lives. Be thankful for who they are, for what they bring, for what they do for us, but also thanking God for what he is doing for us. In so doing, we remind ourselves of God's presence and his ongoing work in our lives and in the world. Because when we get lost in our struggles and our pain and the puzzles that we're trying to figure out in our heads and whatever it is, it's easy to forget God's still here. God still loves me. God's still going to be the one to see me through this. When we're thankful, we remind ourselves that God is there. And we see these glimpses, a comforting word, an encouraging message, a surprise gift, and we're just thankful to God for these things. And we're reminded of God's help in our lives on a regular basis. And we pray. We engage in prayer. Whether it's that spiritual battle, asking for God's light to pierce the darkness, or asking for God to make a way for the gospel to go forward, we engage in prayer with a hopeful perspective because Jesus is coming again one day and will make all things right. We know who's won the victory. And that'll help give us a hopeful perspective and confidence in our prayer. So may God continue to strengthen our hearts and lives toward love and good works as we await the Lord's return. Would you join me in prayer? God of hope, we come to you this morning, and we do pray that you would pierce the darkness. Lord, that you would make a way open for the gospel, first of all, to reach all the areas of our own lives and our own hearts, where we need to be convicted or changed or transformed. We pray that your Spirit would be at work within us. And also, Lord, we pray that you would pierce the darkness of the struggles that we're going through right now, the pain that we feel, the relationships that are strained, whatever it is. God, we just pray that your Spirit would come and you would make a change in those things. Forgive us, Lord, for when we've just given up on ourselves and we've lost sight of your presence in our lives. Or maybe we've lost sight of our first love, Jesus Christ. Forgive us when we've neglected the wisdom of your word and that of your church, that great Christian tradition of the centuries and brothers and sisters in Christ from long ago and who have much to teach us. With our brothers and sisters everywhere on earth and in heaven, throughout time, we long for the return of Christ and the consummation of all things. So in the meantime, Lord, in the meantime, grant us perspective and hope. Guide our hope, we pray, and direct our service to others. Fuel our love for one another so that it would daily increase, and so would our vision for a better world. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Come. Amen.